Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and let us all stand and read together verses 6 through 9. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Your Ways Are Better Than Mine. Your ways are better than mine. And so let's read this, and then we can be seated. Let's start with verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of his word. You may be seated. Saints of God, let me ask this question. Have you ever gone ahead of God and found out that you should have put the brakes on it? Okay, so I'm the only one. I have found many predicaments in life, especially after salvation. Now, before we come into the saving knowledge, we're all knuckleheads. Can I get an amen? The Word of God is not even existent in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our minds. As a matter of fact, people that were part of faith back in the day, those are the ones I wanted to punch in the face. Oh, yeah, people that used to come witness to me and testify. Man, get out of here with that. But as you become a born-again child of God, I found that there are many mistakes that happen with believers, especially as soon as they get saved. And one of the things that I've noticed, I saw it at Mission Valley, where I came from. Now, that was a big, huge mega church. 3,000 attended there. And then, prior to that, I attended North Park Apostolic Church. But here's one of the things that I've seen that I believe they should have looked to God first, is they just got saved, and now they find someone real quick and they run off and get married. And I've asked myself many questions. Why does that always happen? And I'll tell you why that has happened. Because the enemy will send many distractions. Can I get amen? And one of the distractions is to get your brand new love relationship with God off track and get your focus off the Lord on what he wants to do now in your life, and he will change your heart's passion and then give it to someone else. And then they find themselves fumbling the ball, stumbling. And then 6 months later, they're at the divorce court. Oh, yeah. And then everything goes haywire. This is why we need to take time as new believers, even as seasoned believers, to always look into the law of liberty. Can I get amen?
Let's look at this. There are three questions we should all ask whenever we are facing a major decision. What, when, and how? What, when, and how? How, God? What, Lord? And when, Lord? For me, I praise God. I praise God that when I was given my walking papers, that I didn't jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Praise God. I've seen so many people after they get their walking papers, they're in a relationship already 2 weeks later, trying to fill that void. But by the grace of God, God kept me in a place with them for 10 years. And I can only testify by the power of the Holy Spirit. I didn't touch another woman. I didn't even touch any. I mean, God just kept me sanctified unto him. Why? Because he saw a better plan for me. And so, saints, if we leave out even one of these, what, when, and how, it is easy for you and I to have a wrong choice and to suffer consequences. Therefore, saints, the wisest approach is to come before the Lord, asking him what he would have us to do. Can I get an amen? And how he would have us proceed. And when we would have the right time according to his perfect will. Because his will is better than my will. Can I get an amen? And so we're going to see this in the story of Moses. In the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 2. Is a perfect example, saints, of importance of seeking God's guidance before making a decision. Although Moses was a Hebrew, he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter in the palace, a place of Egyptian power, prominence, and prestige. He had everything you could. He was in line to be the next Pharaoh. And when he was an adult, he saw an Egyptian beating a fellow Hebrew and made a rash decision that radically changed his life. He intervened by killing that Egyptian, and as a result of that, he lost everything and became a fugitive fleeing for his life. And eventually, saints, he settled in the desert of Midian and became a shepherd. So he went from prominence to basically poverty. Man, he would... You can imagine, every day in the palace, he had these water baths with perfume scents and what have you. And now, he's with the sheep herders and no water out there. And days before, he'd find water to bathe himself. So, let's look at this in Exodus 2:11. Now, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren, and he looked at the burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian, and he hid himself in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one, "Who did the wrong? Why are you striking your companion?" Look at verse 14. Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill us as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Word got out to Pharaoh too. And when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses, the one that was being raised up. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. And if he could probably take it all back, he would, huh? He didn't know his call. But at that time, he was distraught. For the king, Pharaoh, wanted to kill him too. My, my, my. You ever had someone chasing your life? Did you know when we was unsaved, before we came into the saving knowledge, the devil was wanting to take each and every one of us out. Old Slewfoot was Pharaoh. trying to take us out. But then God came along. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that God came along? So one of Moses' problem was getting ahead of God. How many of you could honestly say you got ahead of God? And so just like Moses, we sometimes jump ahead of God by making hasty decisions without considering the consequences. And there are some tough consequences. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Especially for those who have smoked cigarettes for 30 years. Yeah, and God can heal that too. Can I get an amen? But you know what? Some of those past sins cross over with you in salvation. That's right. Sister Yolanda will ask me now and then, "You're in the closet." She's talking to me, and it's almost like I'm spaced out. You remember when you, oh, okay, I only smoke dope, right? Well, you know, back in the day, man, you would have a few and you would just be zoned out. Well, there are times where I'm not zoned out like that, but I'm not paying any attention. And she always says, "Man, you're in the cabinet." Yeah, there's still effects from that. Believe it or not. Praise God, though. I haven't touched any of that stuff for over 31 years. Hallelujah. That's God's keeping power. Thank you, God. But there is residue. So, Lord, take it all away one day. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's look at the, Moses focused on an event rather than the big picture. He focused on that thing. He saw, man, that's not right. So he took matters in his own hand, ended up fleeing for his life. My. You see, saints, the Hebrews who had sought refuge in Egypt for hundreds of years earlier had been forced into slavery by Pharaoh. You see, what happened was, remember Joseph and his brothers and all, they all came to Egypt and Joseph, the younger brother was there, remember that? And he blessed his family. And so during that famine, all the Hebrews went into Egypt. But then came a new Pharaoh, a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph, and immediately turned on them, took them all into slavery. And so they were made, and their lives were bitter with harsh labor. And when Moses saw a man being mistreated, he focused on the unfairness of the immediate situation rather than thinking ahead. That the remedy for the problem was a task only God can solve. There are many situations in our life only God can solve, saints. Can I get amen? There are some things we should not even touch. Because God says, "Give that to me. I will make it right." But sometimes we don't listen. And we don't believe. And we want to take it into our own hands. Can I get amen? And so, his plan for delivering his people would not be enacted until 40 years later after his action that took place. So by the time Moses was ready to go up and hear from God, he was already, 80 years old. But that lets me know, it's never too late where God can use you. Can I get amen? Some people, "Oh, well, man, I'm already 50, 60, you know." No, God wants you. That's the perfect age. He wants to use you right now. Can I get amen? Look at number two. He followed his reasoning rather than listening to God. And this is often what we do as well, saints. We look at the situation and come to a faulty conclusion regarding what we should do, based on our own limited understanding. You know, our thinking is limited. I hope you know that. For some of us, some of you may have a photographic memory. But if you could tell me what you did yesterday at 3:46 p.m. to the T, you got a good memory. Man, we forget what we did this morning already. And so our mind is limited. But God never sleeps nor slumbers. Can I get amen? He never sleeps nor slumbers. God, on the other hand, saints, knows exactly what course of action is best for your life and for mine. And he's willing to help you and I if we will seek his guidance. Can I get amen? Let's look at this third principle here. Moses acted on impulse rather than seeking to know what God would have him to do. And many of us are impulsive. And for some of you, are impulsive shoppers. Man, as a realtor, you know, bringing a buyer and looking at homes, you know, we get to go into all the rooms and is this house going to accommodate you? I remember walking into this one room. There must have been 300 pairs of shoes in the closet and special racks for them all. I said to myself, this must be an impulsive shopper. I want this right now. And yet you don't need it, but I want it right now. Man, there's some things that God said, you don't need that, but I want it, God, right now. Well, Moses acted on his impulse. Instead of seek and just say, man, well, wait a minute. It happens. His desire was to defend the Hebrew slave, but he didn't think about the consequences. That's right. There's some people right now bound up. You know, when Angie West called me about her father, he's retired Master Chief, Don West, and she told me about his passing, I started calling up all the other agents that I knew. We all worked at Veterans Real Estate there on Plaza Boulevard. And so I called up a couple that used to always preach to me. They were Seventh-day Adventists. And they would always preach to me, man, if you're going to be a real Christian, you need to worship on Saturday. And I used to sit in my seat. I was young in the Lord. I wasn't well-versed yet. But his name was Gary Gerhardt. He would always come, and that was his main thing, that I was worshiping on the wrong day. And yet, here I am sitting in my seat, filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, with the joy of the Lord. And he has changed me from the inside out. I may have not known the word like maybe he knew the word, but he would always come and tell me I'm in the wrong church, I'm worshiping on the wrong day. And then right after he would come and give me a little Bible study, he'd walk outside in front, because, you know, it was all glass building in the front, and he'd be smoking a pack of cigarettes out there. That's right. I used to say, well, one thing I know, he's defiling his temple. Yeah. And see, I was so young in the Lord. I was young there in the office. I didn't know how to stand yet and confront him and debate him. You know, so I used to kind of like I just kept quiet. I would observe. And so I called his wife 4 days ago, Jana, Gary and Jana Gerhardt. I go, Jana. I used to call her Jana. That was my nickname, Jana. And so I called her, oh, Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum. She would call me Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum. It's so good to hear your voice. It's so good to hear you. I go, Jana, I'm calling you because Don West passed. She goes, oh, and her heart sunk. I go, can I talk to Gary? And she goes, she was quiet. He's trying to get help at a VA hospital. He's addicted to crystal meth. And he got abusive with her. You know, this is years. I haven't talked to them in years. But I still had her number. Her number was still there. And she had divorced him. And the whole thing. But yet, I look back, and I was worshiping on the wrong day. Pray for that boy. Pray for Gary. Because you could have a little bit of knowledge, but if the Holy Ghost is not in you, you'll have no power to be an overcomer. No power. And I really believe as I was studying for this message, is like, before he slandered my faith, he should have just took a step back. And said, well, wait a minute. You know, he should have had wisdom. He's a young Christian. You know, I'm going to give him some slack. But he didn't. He would just pound me and pound me and pound me that I was in the wrong faith. So where did his religion leave him? Matter of fact, it's not religion that keeps a person. Can I get an amen? It's only the power of God, the written word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to be truly born of God. That's what keeps you. Can I get an amen? So Moses, his desire was to defend that Hebrew slave, but he didn't think about the consequences. Although saying defending the helpless is good, Moses should have considered if his impulsive action was the wisest way to accomplish this. But saints of God, people tend to react rashly for several reasons. And here are some of the reasons why sometimes we react rashly instead of pondering the thought, God, is this the way to go? Or should I just wait on you? Or God, show me wisdom through your word. It's because of their attitude toward the situation. Just because someone offends you doesn't give you the right to now grab them by the throat. Can I get an amen? Even if they mocked you and slandered your name, as a Christian, we need to continually forgive. Can I get an amen? And then also because of their prejudice in the situation. Well, in this case, it was an Egyptian beaten up on a Hebrew. So he got a little offensive to that. And we need to watch out. Amen? Because sometimes we could be rational in our own heart. But God sees no color. Can I get amen? He sees only one blood, and that blood is red. And for us, it's been washed in the blood. Can I get amen? And then because of their selfishness. So these are the things that sometimes will cause a man and a woman to react rashly on an impulse. And so when we act impulsively, saints, we're more likely to make decisions we may regret later. Can I get amen? God wants us to seek first and know his will in the situation. And so fourthly, Moses acted on his own strength rather than in God's power. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Listen, for many of us, we've been empowered by the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? And sometimes it looks ugly, but we need to just bite down on the tongue. It's easy to chew someone out and spit them out. And then later on, they go out and tell others, he's supposed to be saved. And then once they're talking among themselves, well, that's why I don't go to church, because they're a whole bunch of hypocrites. You see, human strength is very limited, but the Lord God Almighty is more powerful, hallelujah, than any circumstance in life. Can I get amen? And so later on, God's power was illustrated when he delivered all the Hebrews from Egypt and destroyed the entire Egyptian army and ran them off into the sea. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me ask this question. How many seas has God parted for you? Huh? But see, that's the problem. That's the problem. We know what he did then. But can you believe that he can do the same now? For he is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. And so many of us live in that realm. We go back and, Lord, I remember how you used to use me and how you anointed me and how I used to share and win and do all this. And then all of a sudden, we don't believe he can do that again today. And we find ourselves sometimes stuck in that rut. And here's the key, is continue to live a repentant life before him. Can I get amen? Continue, hallelujah, to say, Lord, it's not me, but you who lives in me. It is not I, for it is you that died and went to that cross for me. Can I get amen? Yeah. And when you continue to acknowledge who he is in your life, he will show himself mighty and strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And for those of you in the leadership, I believe we have a leadership meeting this Thursday for the leaders. And you know who the leaders are. I'm going to share something that's going to be mind-blowing. I can't share it with us all, but I have to share it with the leadership, amen, to strengthen their faith that God is not done with amazing grace. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, it's his church, not mine. It's his church, not ours. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. And if it's his church, he will sustain his church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't see any fleecing in here. You don't see, oh man, you didn't give enough today. You got to give again. You don't see any hot dog sales and car washes. No, God has supplied all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And when he shows up mighty and strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. It is him who we trust in. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. But Moses did something that you and I should never do. And this is what he did. Moses acted in anger. It's so easy to get angry. And it's so easy to, you know, just to lop somebody off with your tongue. That's right. Yeah, you could look sanctified, holy, and all that. But if your tongue is longer than your pant leg, nothing matters no more. Can I get amen? Wow. Oh, yeah. We could humbada, humbada, shandada, humbada all day long. But are you living it? Are you breathing it? Are you talking and walking the walk? Can I get amen? You see, if we hold on to anger rather than quickly forgiving others, it will hide in our hearts until a situation triggers. It'll be like Mount Rushmore, just building and building. Remember Mount St. Helens that blew up? We was just about kids, and then we walked outside. We didn't know what had happened, and all the way from Washington State, there was ashes falling all over the place. It was a fallout, wasn't it? Man, that thing was building and building and building, and then it blew. There's some people that hold that much anger for someone, and it becomes a cancer. It starts to eat them away, and anything will trigger it. And one day something's going to trigger it where they're just going to lose it. But look what Ephesians tells us. Ephesians says this, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in what? Love. Not anger. Listen, our relationship ain't based on emotion. I hope you know that. You know, for those of you who have wonderful marriages, praise God. Have wonderful children, praise God. Have wonderful relationships, praise God. But any given moment, they can anger you, man, and you can fly off the handle. Well, I'm here to let you know, God will not do that to you. God will not do that to me. Because that's not his nature. He doesn't have roller coaster emotions like us. And so, by being knitted together in his love, being in one accord, being one body in Christ, where we can strengthen one another, come together as one. Can I get amen? Where we can then be accountable to one another in love. Everything has to be knitted in love. This is why there's no whip here. You either serve or you don't want to serve. Can I get amen? There's some people that left their post. They walked away from their blessing. Can I get amen? There's people that just walk away. I'm done here. I'm gone. Saints, when we are likely to respond in an embarrassing, hurtful, or destructive manner, chaos will erupt. Can I get amen? See, what happened, Moses, he failed to consider the consequences. Sometimes the Bible says be slow to speak. Can I get amen? Even when it don't feel good or it don't look right, man, be slow. And if there's nothing good that could come out, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Saints, instead of responding impulsively to a situation, we should seriously think about the long-term ramifications. Some choices carry consequences that may last a lifetime. I remember at Mission Valley, there was a gentleman who our senior pastor became really good friends with. He was delivered. This man was truly delivered from homosexuality. I forget his last name, but his first name was James. And Pastor Leo would use him every now and then in the ministry. But one thing, because during his BC years, his life of iniquity and rebellion toward God, the HIV followed him into salvation. And so even testifying now and being born again, one thing that was secure was his soul. And I'd rather have my soul secure than my fleshly body that's going to perish anyhow. Can I get amen? I'd rather have my soul secure in Christ. Can I get amen? And that's what happened with him, man. He got saved. And, you know, I don't know if he's still holding on. It's been a long time since I've been there. But he was battling that deadly disease. For some people, as after they come into salvation, even the drug use that they used to be in. Yes. It affects their kidneys and their liver and everything else. Can I get amen? But hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you came to wash away our sins. Hallelujah. This fleshly body, whether it lives to 90, 100, to 60, to 70, we don't know the day or the hour that he would allow us now for this body to go back into the ground. But one thing is certain, hallelujah, the moment we shut our eyes here on earth, when we open them again, we will see him face to face. We will see him in glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many of you can't wait to see him? Come on. Thank you, God. And so one of the key things in this walk with God is just this, staying in step with God. Can I get amen? Don't get sidetracked. Don't let the incident or the situation of life steer you any differently. Can I get amen? God will work out all those things in your life if you trust him. But you got to call upon his name sometimes. When's the last time you actually labored in love, but in prayer with him? Pray until something happens. Pray until you feel him come upon you, man. And then all of a sudden you're lit up like a light bulb. Thank you, God. And he comes and touches you. Because he is a tangible God. Can I get amen? He will touch you. And after this message, I'm going to pray for those who haven't felt his presence. Man, we'll just lay hands and let God do what he does best. Can I get amen? We're just vessels. Hallelujah. How many believe that God will provide everything? Huh? Do you believe that? Do you believe God will provide everything we need? Now, I said need, not greed. There's some folk that get mad because they got a little Volkswagen. Remember those Volkswagen bugs? Huh? Yeah. A Volkswagen bug in the garage. And they close the door. Lord, let there be a Cadillac when I open up this door. Hallelujah. And it's still a bug. Listen. That little bug, if it's still taking you to and fro, that's all you need. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, Brother G remembers that little green Geo used to run around. Hallelujah. Man, I had, over 100,000 miles on that. It was Nellie Bell. He named it Nellie Bell. And finally, God blessed me with the card, and I gave it to Brother G, and they was riding it to death. Little Geo, yeah, man, little green, the green Nelly Bell. It was faithful. That little car was faithful. You know what? People on my job, man, you know, they were coming in when they're lifted up, you know, four-wheel drive trucks and all that. And here I am coming with a little Geo. I could probably park underneath the truck. But you know what? I was just thankful I had a car. Right. Saints, when we have a relationship with the Lord of the entire universe who spoke it up into all existence, we can confidently come to him with our request. Can I get an amen? Knowing that he will certainly do this. He will do this. And my God, say that with me. And my God, one more time. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Come on. Come on. Let's give him a praise. Hallelujah. And a hand clap. You see, I've learned in this walk with him that he is the one that gives specific instructions. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he does. That's right. See, part of the sanctification life is to honor him in his word, to find out what pleases him and what does not please him. Can I get an amen? Listen, I remember my former pastor said, listen, when you are on a diet, you don't go into a donut shop to order a Diet Coke. Did you catch that? Huh? You walk in there, man, you ain't looking for your soda. You're looking right in that glass cabinet right there. Man, which one do I want? There's specific instructions that God said that you can live an abundant life. Can I get amen? A life well-pleasing to God. And so the only way to receive his guidance is through his word. Not books written by Dr. Spock. Oprah can't give you any instructions. Neither can Dr. Phil. Can I get amen? And now they got new shows like Kelly and all these other ones. My goodness. I'd rather read what Paul and James and John, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ, what they left behind for you and I. Can I get amen? that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. That's what will allow us to prosper in this life. Well, when I say prosper, it's mind, body, and soul. Hallelujah. Many of us are prospering in our soul, but we need to also prosper in our physical body. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Man, we can't be all decrepit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then God wants to use you. So there's some things in here that says, you know what? If you follow my instruction, by his grace, we won't always be getting sick. Can I get amen? Follow the instruction of the Lord. Only way to receive his guidance is through his word. We must not make the mistake of merely praying about our concerns, yet never opening the Bible to hear what the Lord has to say. I want to know what he has to say. Can I get amen? You see, the instructions was given early. Given early. Early in the Bible. To who? Someone guess who? To who? Who's the person I'm referring to? Give me a name. Adam, everyone, okay. Joshua. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse 8. This book of the law, which is the Bible, can I get amen? Shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Hallelujah. But man, I've been to some counseling sessions. I even been to some church services. No one's even bringing in the word. They'll give you a little leaflet. They may put one little scripture on the screen, whatever. But everything, God is not even mentioned. It's more of a motivational speech. Be all you can be. Yeah. Yeah. So he goes on to say in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever what? You go. Man, aren't you so blessed to know? But see, what's happening in our society right now? The word of God has been driven out. See, the devil knows his time is short. How many believe that you know that the devil knows that time is short? So where is he attacking first and foremost? Where's the place he's attacking? Okay, church is one, but one other institute that is right now being ravaged by the devil. Yes, yes, the elementary school. And now they got what? Dragon time, is that what it's called? Huh? Drag queen time. Chula Vista, National City, now has story time. They have transgenders going in there teaching the kids. You see, when you're not teaching them God's word, they don't know who God is no more. Can I get amen? So they're now susceptible to believe a lie. And the devil knows his time is short. So he's sowing in the lie. The lie. You see, saints, we do not have the knowledge or insight to know what the future holds. But we have God who knows every detail of the past, present, and future. And he has given us the book for guidance. Can I get amen? The scripture contains everything we need to know spiritually and morally in order to live according to his will. See, Jesus forewarned already that the culture of this day is going to hate you for his sake. Did you know the unbelievers, even your family members, they really hate you? When's the last time you actually fellowship with them and you had everything in one accord? There's nothing really that can be in one accord, because one's in darkness and you're walking in the light, and it clashes. It clashes. And truth will cause them to either fall to their knees to repent, or they will just run. Okay, I got scripture to back that up. Look at this. John 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the what? Evil one. And right now the evil one is capturing our children. He's already in colleges and high schools. Right now, what governs the colleges is humanism. God is no longer mentioned. If you mention the name of Jesus, you will get expelled. That's right. I remember my son graduated in 2004 from Eastlake High School, and he initiated a Bible study amongst his friends, and right next door, because these classes were available for student initiative programs, but they had to do it on their own time. So he would have like a handful of people in Bible study, and the one next door was Satanism. Yes, they were actually Satanists having a satanic Bible right next door to one another. Tell me if that ain't a battle right there, ain't a clash. But see, the evil one has infiltrated. Let me just say this, saints. We are living in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah. You know, I read Sister Yolanda had sent an urgent message from Perry Stone. Some of you maybe got that from her. But one of the things he said, that in one of the Jewish writings that were eyewitness to the accounts and wrote it down, and after generation after generation, and proved to be so, the reason why Lot told the two angels, don't go outside. Because during that time, if you were a stranger coming in to the city of Gomorrah, they would take that man to the center of the town, tie him down, and the men would have their way with him. Saints, if you think that's horrific, it's become even more gross dark in the times that we live in. Look what it says here. They are not of this world, just I am not of this world. And look what he goes on to say in verse, sanctify them by your truth. This is what this generation needs. It needs God's word. Can I get amen? And guess what? The word is in you. So they need to hear you. Can I get amen? They may not ever come to a Bible study, a Sunday morning sermon, church service. They may not come on a Wednesday night. And so the only Jesus that they're ever going to see is you and you and you and you. That's the only Jesus they're ever going to see. Why? Because the word is in you. Sanctify them by your truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by what? The truth. People are walking in lies right now. Saints, without God's word, we will never know what we would have him to do in our lives and what to do. In fact, we are unable to live the Christian life without a consistent intake of his word. We need to be about our Father's business. Amen? Can I get amen? You see, God will remove our fear if we walk in faith. But you got to believe what God said. Don't be afraid. You ever been confronted by unbelievers? And you're like, no. You know, when that starts to happen, see, you just start praying, God, empower me right now. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. You brought this person right here, right now. And Lord, let me lay the truth on them. Can I get amen? Don't be afraid. You know what? I remember what Brother Felipe said. He said, don't look at faces when you're preaching, Pastor Fee. I go, why? He goes, because some faces will be like this. He goes, look at the walls in the corners. Look in the center. He goes, don't look at faces. You know, he made a lot of sense. But when you're confronted with unbelievers, don't be afraid of their face. Some of them really want to hear the truth. And they need to hear it. That's right. Amen. Since we don't know what the future holds, making decisions could be a fearful experience. Why? Because we cannot see the outcome or the consequences that may follow. But when we faithfully seek God's guidance through His Word, He replaces our fear with confidence in Him. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed with this scripture? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what it says in Romans. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you receive what? The spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father, now. Hallelujah. As I remember sharing a portion of my message last week, man, when I was a kid, my brother can attest, I was afraid of the dark. But God, hallelujah, gave me a power of His love, never to fear that thing again. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Now we can tread on the devil. We can step on his neck. Hallelujah. There have been times in prayer, man, I said, devil, you are a liar and you are a father of lies and you lied to me all my life. Hallelujah. I'm not listening to you no more. Thank you, God. And look what 1 John says. Love. Say that with me. Love. One more time. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Judgment is soon coming. So this is a time to be bold for God. Can I get amen? I didn't write this. God wrote it. Can I get amen? So we need to, what? Believe God that we would have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out what? It casts out fear because fear involves torment. Man, when you have to force someone to do something, man, it's out of torment. And when you have to drive them and whip them and out of fear becomes torment. I'd rather have someone doing for me because it's out of love than you got to do this. You need to do this. My goodness. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So if you're walking around, oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. You're still walking around in fear. The love of God hasn't been perfected in you. Because if the Holy Ghost is truly living inside you, guess what? Whatever that situation you was once partakers of, it's gone now. Can I get an amen? It's been erased. It's been removed. Hallelujah. Now the Holy Ghost lives there. Thank you, God. We love Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, saints, we will see God work in unusual ways in our circumstances if we trust Him. That's why the Bible says trust in the Lord. Go ahead and read that right now. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? King David understood this. King David understood this. Look what he wrote here in Psalm. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from who? From Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be what? Moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at what? Sometimes. Now, I'm going to trust you in this, but I don't think you can help me here. That's a lie from the pit. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a what? Refuge for us. Hallelujah. And when we start understanding and being in step with God, hallelujah, we will learn God's ways. How many would rather walk in God's ways? Because you don't want to walk with me. You want to walk with God. You don't even want to walk with yourself. I want to walk with God. Can I get amen? When we seek his guidance by reading and obeying his word, we see how he operated in the scriptures as well as he works in your life and my life. If we truly want to gain a greater understanding of the Lord, we must become well acquainted with his word. Can I get amen? This is why we go before him and we say, Lord, show me your ways, God. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. And when I say from old, way before you were born. Did you know he knew you before you were conceived in your mother's womb? The Bible says he already knew you. My goodness. This is the awesomeness of God, is that he spoke us into existence. That's right. Yeah, he used your mom and dad to conceive, but guess what? Prior to that, he already knew you. My goodness. Look at this. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, God. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness sake, O Lord. Listen, I don't care what you did in the past. It's washed in the blood. The devil will remind you all day long. He'll tell you your whole past. He'll try to make you dwell on something that's already yesterday. And some of us live in that realm. Yeah, I messed up. No, you're washed and you're clean now. Can I get amen? Now move forward. Walk with him now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. He will show you great and mighty things to come. We're coming in for a close now. God will use our weaknesses and failures to help us understand his will for our lives. How many believe that? Oh, come on. Oh, somebody's been through something back there. And if you haven't been through something, guess what? He's about to allow you to go through something real soon. That's right. Keep living. You see, saints, our inadequacies and needs drive us to the Lord in prayer. I hope you know that. Or do you go somewhere else for your need? Some of us go to our PPO and our HMO and our urgent cares and our emergency wards and all this. We need to go to God. Say, God, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And he will show you exactly what you need to do. Can I get amen? But go to him first. Can I get amen? Now, I love doctors, and there's nothing wrong with hospitals because he created them. But many times, we don't go to him first. We need to go to him. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Therefore, we should not think of them as negative experiences, but as by means by which God draws us to him. Aren't you so blessed that we can be drawn to him? Hallelujah. God will use circumstances of life so that we would be drawn to him. If you're a true child of God, you'll run to him. You'll run to him. Oh, yes, you will. Look what it says right here, and we're closing. Now I rejoice in 2 Corinthians 7, 9 through 10. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led you to repentance. Man, many of us ran with the wildest ones. Oh, come on. Many of us were not just thugs. We didn't just live a thug life. Okay, that's just me speaking now. Some of you grew up in really fine homes and you'd never experienced, hallelujah, these harsh ways of life. That's just me speaking, right? So let me just share what he delivered me from. Because 30 years ago, I could not shake crystal meth. I could not give up the weed smoking and the drinking and the womanizing and all these things. The Bible calls it iniquities, gross sins. But when I came, hallelujah, to Jesus, hallelujah, he quickened me. He gave me eyes to see. He gave me ears to hear. He drew me to the cross. Hallelujah. I was in my coffin dead. He woke me up. And as soon as my eyes opened, I saw him and I saw the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. My whole life prior to that, I was dead. Spiritually dead. Hallelujah. But he drove me. Hallelujah. To the cross. He gave me a mind to be saved. He gave me a heart to repent. Thank you, God. That's what he did for you. Can I get an amen? It says that your sorrow led to repentance. You were made sorry in a godly manner that you might suffer loss from us and nothing. For godly sorrow produces what? Repentance, leading to salvation. So I look back and I say, God, thank you that I was afflicted. Thank you, oh God, that I had to go through. Because if I didn't go through those things, I probably would have never came to you. Can I get amen? But God allowed the loss. God allowed the suffering. God allowed the rejection. God allowed the addiction. He allowed all these things to come upon me so that I could turn to no one but him. Hallelujah. Is that what he's done for you?
Yes.
It led me to salvation. And it's not to be regretted. I don't regret none of that. Can I get amen? I'm happy as a lark. Can I get amen? I've got this newfound faith 30 years ago, and it hasn't left me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But the sorrow of the world produces death. This is why. Don't give up. Keep praying for them. Don't think for one time that so-and-so is saved. If they don't have any fruit in their life, they're not living for God. They're not walking the walk, talking the talk. You don't see any anointing. You need to pray. Hallelujah. Because the sorrow of the world will leave them to die. This is God's truth. Don't be deceived. Oh, so-and-so saved. I know they're saved. No. Are they living for God right now? My goodness. Look at what it says right here. King David. Mighty man of God. Listen, you better thank God for King David. You know why? Because now you know there's hope for you. Can I get amen? He should have been out to war with his troops. I'm going to kick back. I'm just going to lay back right here and just relax. And then he crept out onto his balcony and saw something he should have never seen. And when he saw it, I'm the king. I want it. So he pulled in one of his lieutenant's wife. Only wife this lieutenant ever had. And this guy had hundreds of concubines, and I don't know how many wives, but he wanted that one too. Drew her in because he was the king. Caused her to be pregnant. And then schemed up a way to kill the husband of this woman so he could take her. Listen, every now and then, a prophet will walk into your life. and he's going to call you to the carpet. Are you going to receive instruction? Are you going to repent? Are you going to humble yourself? Are you going to walk away and do one of these? King David had a choice, didn't he? Because the prior kings, they threw the prophets and killed them. They threw them in the dungeons. They left them to die in starvation. King David had a choice. He took the one man's only wife and he had an abundance of them. The prophet came, told him a story. Prophet came and told him a story. There was a man who had only one sheep. But there was a man who had hundreds of flocks. But he wanted that one sheep for his party. So he ordered that sheep to be apprehended. And it left that man with no sheep. So the prophet said, what would you have done, King David, if you would have saw this atrocious act? He said, I would apprehend him and imprison him. Prophet Samuel said, you're the man. He had a choice, didn't he? He had a choice. He could have said, guards, off with his head. But he went before God. No different than how we came before God when God called us out. God had to call us out. God had to show us our sin. Hallelujah. We had a choice to run from God or to fall on our face. And King David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Hallelujah. For he said this, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me against you. Because our transgressions wasn't against other people. It was against God. He acknowledged, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Saints, God can accomplish more in a brief period than we can in a lifetime. Oh, yes. When I gave my heart to Christ, and the custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship led me to the Lord, it was like this. Everything was washed away. I didn't go through any rehab. I didn't go through 12 steps. I didn't go through Alcoholic Anonymous. I didn't go to weekly counseling sessions. God delivered me, hallelujah, right then and there. And whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's all stand. The Lord can do greater things His way, saints, than we could ever with what? In our ways. Can I get amen? We should always seek God. How many right now can honestly say you could use a blessing right now? Okay, it's just not me, right? I'm going to ask for those that really need a blessing. Come on down. Just come on down to this altar. Hallelujah. Saints, this is the time that we need to stop fighting with God. And we need to allow God to have His way. Can someone help me anoint these precious souls with oil?
If you're listening
right now on the internet. And maybe you just were surfing the net. You came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And you're hearing this message right now. And you may not even know who Jesus is. I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.